This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The hunt for an escaped inmate in Arkansas goes on. Grant Hardin is a former police chief, but he's also a convicted killer and rapist. And police say he broke out of prison last week by donning a fake law enforcement uniform. Eight down, two to go. The remaining fugitives who escaped from a New Orleans jail are still eluding police. ABC's Jim Ryan with more on who they are.
Derrick Groves was being held at the Orleans Parish Prison after he was convicted late last year in a double homicide on Mardi Gras 2018. Fellow escapee Antoine Massey is no stranger to jailbreaks, having fled custody several times since 2007. Police on Tuesday were following up on an unconfirmed sighting of Massey in Natchez, Mississippi.
Also out of jail, possibly as soon as today, Todd and Julie Chrisley, the reality TV stars who defrauded banks out of more than $30 million. President Trump saying he will pardon them. Trump administration moving to cut off all remaining federal funding to Harvard. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Gas prices are up slightly since last week. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
Average gas prices in Wisconsin rose slightly over the last week, landing at an average of $3.02 today. This is 4.4 cents higher than a month ago and over 38 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. Gas prices across the state range from $2.59 to $3.49 per gallon, a difference of 90 cents. Prices didn't fall as far as anticipated for Memorial Day, but officials at Gas Buddy say it was still one of the most affordable since 2021. They expect to see a relatively stable stretch for gas prices as we head into summer.
Here in La Crosse, gas prices are staying just below the statewide average, currently at about $3 per gallon. In La Crosse City Government, the City Administrator Work Group meets, as well as the Economic and Community Development Commission, which will consider a resolution with developers for affordable housing on the corner of Main Street and 10th Street North. On Friday, the Commercial and Multifamily Design Review Committee will go over plans for both of the La Crosse School District's capital projects for adding on to the State Road Elementary School and the new elementary school at the Hogan Administrative Site. There's no estimated reopening date set for the Black Hawk Bridge connecting Wisconsin to Iowa. The Iowa DOT said last week that they confirmed one of the bridge's piers moved, creating a safety issue. The 94-year-old bridge has been closed since May 17th and was also closed for nearly 2 months last year for emergency repairs. People are being reminded to not go around the barricades on the closed bridge. The closest river crossings are in La Crosse or Prairie du Chien. A new bridge is under construction and expected to open in 2027. It'll be a day and night of overcast skies before we warm up heading into June. In addition to cloud cover, there'll be a chance of scattered showers overnight into Thursday. We'll see temperatures tomorrow in the mid to upper 70s before rising well into the 80s over the weekend. In addition to warmer temperatures, we'll have mostly sunny skies with small chances of scattered showers Friday into Saturday. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
A Brewers win over Boston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers and Red Sox wrapping up their series today in Milwaukee. Last night, Christian Yelich hit a walk-off grand slam in the 10th to lead the Brewers to a 5-1 win over Boston. The inning before, Yelich scored the tying run from third. Manager Pat Murphy.
We've all seen that. I've been here with Yelly as long as I have. We've all seen that base hit out of him, that double, and then his base running to get you to third. That's why he's a great player.
NFL, the Packers OTAs continuing today without Packers defensive back Jair Alexander. A report says the Packers will take him back if he takes a pay cut. Jair's agent says he wants to stay in Green Bay, but not with a restructured deal. In golf, the U.S. Women's Open tees off tomorrow in Wisconsin. Nelly Korda on what it's like to compete at Erin Hills.
It tests every part of your game. It's very demanding. Even if you think you've hit it good, you just exhale when you see it stop.
That's golfer Nelly Korda with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers or a thunderstorm possible today. Our high in the mid to upper 60s this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be partly cloudy with a low dropping to near 50. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though. Because
probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'll be joined by Michael Negron, former special assistant to the president for economic policy. We'll be talking about the impact of tariffs on small businesses and working families here in Wisconsin.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Wednesday morning, May 28th. Coming up later this hour, we're going to be talking about a coalition of groups busy at the state capitol yesterday, trying to get a message to Governor Tony Evers that the next state budget needs to be to a certain level, shall we say, and that if Republicans who run the legislature don't bring that budget to a certain level of support for education and healthcare and workers and the environment, then instead of a whole bunch of line item vetoes, maybe just trash the whole thing, veto it all, and make the lawmakers start over. So we'll talk to a couple of guests about that coming up. Then in our 8 o'clock hour, we'll be talking to Earl Ingram about the lead crisis in Milwaukee, lead paint chips in some schools, lead water pipes, and how Health and Human Services Secretary Robert Kennedy Jr. says they're on it, except that they're not. We'll talk to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media political editor, and we'll talk to James Kelly, Civic Media reporter here in Chippewa Falls, about a story out of Hayward that reminds us that during summer vacation from schools, some kids are missing out on the one good meal that they might get each day, and some of the programs that are meant to alleviate that. Melissa Kay is here as well, hanging over from WFHR, 97.5 WFHR, I should say, and 105.5 WIRI, because we spent so much time teasing her about getting a pigeon that we never asked her what is exactly happening in Wisconsin Rapids for, you know, radio and events and news and things like that. So we'll talk to her about that. But first, meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here to tell us one more day of this cloudy, cool stuff. And then things get really nice after that. Before I forget, Parker Olson is in Madison. Greg Bach is at Radio Park in Racine. And Brittany, for all of us, wherever we are in Wisconsin, a little gray out there this morning. I don't know. Is it that way statewide?
Yeah, it pretty much is. There's a little bit of spots of sunshine far northeast. Lucky you. Hang on to it while you have it, because it is going to be replaced by those clouds very, very soon. Mostly cloudy throughout the day today. We are looking at light rain already rolling into the western areas of the state, far south as well. That is going to lift north as we go through the rest of the morning and into the afternoon, and it's going to scatter out too. So on and off light rain is expected through most of the day today. We could hear some claps of thunder by this afternoon, especially into north central areas. No severe storms are expected, but of course, just some rumbles of thunder out there and some more moderate rainfall in those smaller storms. Otherwise, that all dies out later after sunset. High temperatures today will hit the mid-60s far south. We are looking at about 70 degrees far north. Then tomorrow, we're going to start a little bit of a warm-up. The sunshine will return. We will be in those upper 60s to mid-70s. And then some humidity starts to sneak in for Friday, especially into western areas of the state. Temperatures will soar to the upper 70s to near 80 degrees. We'll get a little cooler on Saturday, but the heat comes right back for Sunday. And let me tell you, those summer heat, humidity, like mid-80s, dew points in the 70s, they're going to be here next week.
All right. And now one thing that we didn't mention along with the temperatures and the conditions is the extended daytime hours. And Alicia writes in on YouTube, the downside for me with the extended sunlight is I have a very hard time falling asleep before 10 p.m. when I need to wake up for work at 2:45 a.m. I believe Greg would like to give this an amen.
I do not miss those days.
I know what you mean. I got to fall asleep now. During the sun times.
Yes.
Blackout curtains.
Yes.
He's rubbing his eyes hard in stress right now.
Yes. 2:45 a.m.
Yes. For a lot of morning radio and TV folks, you know, they get
or truck drivers.
Or truck drivers or a whole host of other things. Mm-hmm. I used to really dread going to bed, you know, when the sun was still up for these early morning shifts. And now we're just like, now it's practically a game. It's like, can we get blackout curtains dark enough? Can we close the doors enough? Can we just basically a cellar, you know,
put can us in I the fall cellar. Asleep before the sun goes down?
Because, and why? Because we're old and tired now. It's like, no, we're going to sleep and no sunshine
can
is stopping me.
Yet?
Yeah, that is really how it is, which is, by the way, how we missed that Christian Yelich walk-off grand slam last night as the Brewers beat the Red Sox 5-1. Good morning from Tigerton, says Rob. Cloudy and 54 degrees. I've got some lawns to mow in Tigerton and a doctor's appointment in Shawano. Yesterday, I mowed some yards in Wittenberg, had lunch at Rachel's Roadside in Wittenberg, a bowl of spaghetti soup.
What?
It was very good, a must stop when you're heading toward Green Bay off Highway 29 at Highway 45, South Exit 198. Rob says, Greg, I have a CPAP machine, and it helps me sleep and using it since 2019. We mentioned John Fogerty's birthday today and that he loves CCR. And Have You Ever Seen the Rain is his favorite song from them. And honestly, we need more rain. He says, seeing Melissa and Brittany together reminds me to buy them another drink soon. And the rest of you as well. And reminds us that he has a birthday coming up. And it's a lot different in the winter, he writes, when you have to get up at 2 a.m. in the winter to plow snow. And Alicia notes, yes, sanitation people also have to get up super early. And Shizu has the solution, blackout curtains and lavender sleep masks.
Oh, fancy. So
I like that.
I stopped listening to everything once I heard spaghetti soup, and I was very, very curious. So yes. I Googled spaghetti soup, Rachel's Roadside, and what comes up? Rob from Tigerton's post on Instagram. a lovely display. There's a cheeseburger. It looks like a hearty chili.
Ooh. Wow. The internet has come full circle.
And
there's no need for anything else.
And a bottle
thanks
of
to
strum,
Rob, it's all there.
And a bottle of Sun Drop.
Of course, Sun Drop. You're in Tigerton. You have to do that.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. Mm-hmm. All right. Brittany, thank you so much. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you, Brittany.
Let's find out from Melissa now what's happening on Wisconsin Rapids Radio out there, because again, it was all about Pigeon Quest, you know, before the news break. What you guys working at the stations at up there?
Oh, we got a couple live remotes coming up this weekend we're excited about. Beth and Seth are going to be at Dairy Fest in Marshfield, and they will be broadcasting live on, I believe, on our WIRI station. And then we're also doing a live broadcast at Rapids Transmission in Wisconsin Rapids. Ashley and I will be there. It's the grand reopening of another thing coming full circle, because it was a family-owned business way back when called Rapids Transmission. Then it was R&R Transmission. Now they're changing it back to Rapids Transmission with the nephew and his wife of the original owners reopening it again.
Okay. Yeah. And Dairy Fest. Tell folks about that in Marshfield. That's a big deal.
You know, I believe there's going to be lots of pancakes.
Yes, it is a huge breakfast.
But honestly, beyond that, I don't know a ton about it because I wasn't assigned to it.
Okay.
I haven't. But you know, you can't go wrong with a dairy breakfast.
They're
delicious.
I still need to do one of those.
Yes, you absolutely do. They have the best like sausages, especially around here where they make them. You'll get some just, I had some last year in Pittsville that were, they had like cranberries in it. They had blueberries. They were so good.
Here we go. Thanks to the folks at Channel 7 in Wausau. Beginning Friday in Marshfield, Dairy Fest begins on May 30th at 5 a.m. with the annual Mayor's Breakfast. More than 200 volunteers will serve up more than 1,200 pancakes, 450 pounds of eggs, and 24 gallons of maple syrup. The events will continue into Saturday, attracting thousands to the fairgrounds. This year, the Marshfield Chamber has partnered with the Ronald McDonald House to bring back the Cheese Chase. Well, now I got to know more about
this.
Is
that like the one they do overseas where they throw a wheel of cheese down the hill
and you run after it?
I don't think the kid one is quite like that. But
and there's not a lot of hills in Marshfield.
Yeah. There is the picnic in the park Friday at Columbia Park from 5 to 8 p.m. There's a craft show Saturday, a downtown parade Saturday at 11 a.m. Starts at 2nd Street and goes south on Central Avenue. There's a family fun day on Saturday and a softball tournament and more.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal.
More than
Beth
I can
and Seth will
here.
Be at the Mayor's Breakfast on Friday, but then they're live broadcasting on Saturday.
Okay. I feel like I hit every dairy breakfast, you know, at some point or another, either as a state senator or a candidate for Congress. And people are, everybody's happy to get out of the house. Mm-hmm. Somebody else is cooking them breakfast. There's these other things for the kids to do. So, yeah.
And at the Rapids Transmission, if you're in Rapids and you want to come to that, there's going to be free tacos and ice cream and face painting.
Free tacos?
Free tacos? Where is this happening?
I'm sorry, where?
From 11 to 1.
Where is
11
the free
to 2
tacos?
Where? At Rapids Transmission on Rapids. 8th Street South.
That's right. By Kenosha, right? That's right by Kenosha? Right.
No, dear. You need to drive.
Yes. You got to come on. But it's free tacos.
Why are there never free tacos by me?
Okay. Shiju writes, now, if only I could get some decent black pudding with these breakfasts, I'd be showing up in a heartbeat. What? What?
You'd have to make it for us.
Yeah, I don't really think that.
Yeah. Watch as a radio show Googles live.
Oh, I know. You don't know what black pudding is?
Oh,
no.
Yeah. It's not.
It's not sweet.
It's not sweet. It's a sausage.
It's a kind of sausage made from pig's blood, pork fat, or beef suet, and cereal, usually oatmeal or barley, and various spices.
Yes.
It's like Raptor was saying, like, Europe. Oh, you want some head cheese? Oh, what's that kind of cheese? Walk away.
Braunschweiger.
I'm out.
Walk away.
Yeah.
Do you know what head cheese is, Parker?
I don't.
You don't know what head cheese is?
Okay. It's Google it, and then I'll see if you have an appetite for the next 4 to 10 hours.
Meanwhile, talking about the Stanley Tucci series, the new one on Nat Geo and Hulu and Disney, where he's going all through Italy, the first two shows focus primarily on tripe and making Italian dishes with tripe.
You can get that here in Wisconsin Rapids.
There are some of us who are like, what's that? And had to look and realize that now this particular delicacy is made by the fourth stomach of a cow, whereas this delicacy is made from the second stomach of a cow because it's got more of a honeycomb, you know, thing going for it, or heart and tongue, or all these other things. Every part gets used.
I had some tripe in a pho soup up in Duluth. It was really good. I'm surprised.
I asked Parker to Google head cheese because I just wanted to see his. I wanted to see his look on his face. Parker, tell the world what head cheese is.
I was physically affected by that image.
It was very visceral for Parker.
Oh,
it's a meat jelly dish made from the flesh and gelatinous parts of an animal's head, typically a pig's head, but sometimes a calf or a cow. It's not actually cheese, but rather a meat terrine or aspic with a smooth and creamy texture and a savory pork flavor.
I don't believe this.
It's on the internet, so it must be true.
Yes.
No, aspic has a very interesting history there.
There's a bunch
of tripe, also known as offal, and Shiju gets back on and says, don't waste good offal.
Oh, my God.
I think it's awful.
Exactly. I do too, but if that's how it's pronounced.
Well done.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll be here till 9, maybe, waiting for the phone to ring. It was great to catch up, Melissa. I feel like once again, we've really undersold everything in Wisconsin Rapids just so we could have some fun with you. But thanks for letting us have some fun with you.
Oh, it's always great fun with you guys.
All right. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Still ahead, we'll be talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, Earl Ingram, Heather Dubois-Bornon, and Robert Craig. All ahead as part of our mornings here live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for making this a place to spend part of your Wednesday. He has a double check. Yep, Wednesday. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
All across Wisconsin, destination marketing organizations are working to ensure that tourism in our state and your local community is stronger than ever. Because when you travel in Wisconsin, you see what our beautiful state has to offer. And now, more than ever, you see the importance of the travel and tourism industry and the impact it has on our community's small businesses, infrastructure, and economy. Destination marketing organizations statewide are working diligently to generate the economic benefits tourism has to offer and ensure that tourism in Wisconsin recovers better than ever. Their work to drive visitation, book meetings and conventions, and enhance the visitor experience not only encourages travelers to discover Wisconsin, it bolsters the economy, supports jobs, and it improves the quality of life for all Wisconsin residents. And you can do your part just by exploring Wisconsin yourselves or supporting your local destination marketing organization directly. To learn more about what Wisconsin's destination marketing organizations are doing, visit destinationswisconsin.com. Sponsored by Destinations Wisconsin.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
On the text line here, and you can text us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Lori in Hayward, my mother used to make head cheese from scratch at home. She loved it, but no one else in the family would eat it, including Parker, if he was given the option.
Yeah. From scratch? You just had that around?
Yeah, you just, you know, boil a pig's head, and, you know, the scraps and everything become...
Oh.
See, Greg, for folks that missed it during the break, Greg was giving him some historical perspective. There was once upon a time when we did not have superstores on every corner, Greg.
No.
Well, no, that part I get.
There was this thing called the Depression.
Yeah.
And, you know, you used every part of whatever animal you had.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And that's, you know, that's still the case in many parts of the world. We sometimes forget just how gosh darn lucky we are. You know, to live in this time and place. However, he said, making the transition to James Kelly appearing here later on, in Hayward, they're reminding us that not every kid gets a great meal all the time. And so we'll talk about a program that's happening up there soon. I got the Marshfield Dairy Breakfast info from the WSAW Channel 7 Wausau site up in Wausau. And I wanted to take note of two other stories I see there. In Auburndale, they have a problem with buckthorn. And I haven't talked about buckthorn for a long time, but do you remember what I considered getting and what Auburndale went and got? Anybody? Goats. Auburndale went and got the goats. The environment. Uh-oh.
What happened?
You probably couldn't hear that, but I went to click on the story, and of course, a commercial came blasting into my ear here. So the goats are back on the scene in another Wisconsin community. According to the group Friends of the Mississippi River, buckthorn is a group of shrubs or trees that the animals prefer, even though it's bad for the soil, because buckthorn is an invasive species here in Wisconsin. And goats are literally the only animal that can eat this and survive because they have an enzyme in their liver that neutralizes the toxins that would otherwise be bad for the soil. And so we did finally uproot a lot of our buckthorn, but we still have some growing in another part of the lot. And so Sherry's going to see this and only once again say, hey, maybe we got to get a goat. And if we get a goat, that also means later on you can get goat stew and maybe some head cheese from the goat. You know,
no, you keep the goat forever.
I'm just saying, again, that's the cycle of life thing. Well, yeah, that's kind of how this is supposed to work.
I might go vegan again.
Meanwhile, have you been following this outage by Cellcom after a ransomware attack and that all kinds of folks have had trouble making calls?
Rob from Tigerton has been sending text messages about that. And it was happening during like the peak of bad storms too. And people didn't have the ability to get weather updates and couldn't send and receive text messages
from again from Channel 7. Five calls were made to 911 after a camper went up in flames early Tuesday morning in Door County, but none of them connected because all the calls were made from phones with Cellcom as a provider. The owner saw flames from their home in this camper, tried multiple times but could not reach the fire department, and obviously, the camper was burned and appears to be destroyed by things here. God. And again, it comes back to this whole notion of ransomware attacks, where we all try to stay ahead of technology as best we can. But what's the right phrase there? But for the grace of God, that I've not been subject to something like that. But how many clinics and other workplaces have been? And again, this goes way, way back to my being in the legislature, so I can only imagine the number is worse. But they shared with me as on one committee the number of cyber attacks that state computer systems get every day that they have to defend against. And I'm sure that number has just grown exponentially since then. And you know, it's like a missile defense system. It's like you can have the best one in the world, but it only takes one to get through, you know. And these ransomware attacks are just awful. And there's no easy answer to it. You don't want to pay the ransom necessarily, but these are the things that happen. I worked at a TV station once that basically lost their entire video archives going back decades to a ransomware attack. So I wish I had an easy answer, but when I hear this about Cellcom and remember what else has happened around the state here, I mean, my heart goes out to them. It's not good.
No.
I had no easy answer. No natural follow-up to that. So you say, this is where you go, boy, I don't know, right?
Boy, crime, I don't know. That's a West Wing reference.
That's a West. I was going to give the whole West Wing one. Yep. Quick one from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The potential for a commercial development, a Brewers District around American Family Field, is going to be getting studied now, according to the ballpark's public owner. The Wisconsin Professional Baseball Park District is requesting proposals from consultants to look for a potential project instead of all of that parking lot space, which, when the game is sold out, you know, it looks wonderful seeing all those tailgaters, but might it be time now to consider less parking area, more commercial development area like the Titletown District around Lambeau Field? And I think that's an honest debate to have. Do you keep it as is, or is there potential in putting some other businesses in there?
It has more parking spaces than Disney World. We can get rid of some.
I think it's really funny watching a game and you see just like a little stadium and all this parking around.
Yeah.
Such a weird look.
Yeah,
it is. I mean, and it's what all of them used to have once upon a time, but more places discovered that, yeah, we can probably make more money instead of you bringing in your grill and your own brats and hot dogs. If we got it somewhere else where you got to go buy it, you know, pretty good deal for
people
them.
Will lose their mind, but they'll adjust.
They always do. Yep. We will talk about the next state budget that the legislature is working on and what should be in it in order for Governor Tony Evers to sign it. We'll talk to our guests about that coming up after the Midwest Farm Report, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Federal funding cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. It threatens not only families, but also farmers. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. One of the farms waiting for final answer is Flagg Family Farm in Rudolph. Carl Flagg is the operator, and he says not only do families depend on SNAP for some additional dollars to spend towards their meals, farmers depend on SNAP to keep clients coming their way.
Oh, yes, yes. I mean, it's put thousands and thousands of dollars into the farmers markets here in Dane County and back home in Wausau and Stevens Point. So, yeah, it's a very important program. I just spent 3 days in Washington, D.C., campaigning with Farmers Union. It's very important what we stress to the politicians is that in the Farm Bill, we need a strong nutrition program.
Carl Flagler from Flagler Family Farm in Rudolph says it's not just about the SNAP dollars helping families to fulfill their meal goals. It's also about making sure those families can afford some of the beneficial food that farmers like him bring to a farmer's market. He says that's something they might not otherwise be able to afford.
Loss of appetite, drop in milk production, and dehydration are all key indicators of HPAI, or bird flu. This disease is a threat to cattle health and farmers' bottom line. Help protect your herd and reduce the spread by keeping animals hydrated and eating with BioVet. Bovine Gold Light provides key electrolytes for livestock, and our direct-fed microbial products support digestive health and appetite. Learn more at bile-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of the current offers on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eye on a new Can-Am ATV or side-by-side, now's the time to get yours. Visit your local Can-Am dealer today and add a true game changer to your roster. Conditions apply. See dealer for details.
And so far, weather's been cooperating pretty well with Wisconsin farmers. The latest update shows across the state, 85% of the corn's already in the ground, and about 52% of that corn has already emerged. Corn rating from farmers, about 62% called good to excellent. 80% of our soybeans have been planted. Right now, that crop, about 42% emerged. 88% of our potato planting is already complete, and it looks like the first cutting of alfalfa, about 20% done as of Sunday. That's just a quick snapshot on food news for Wednesday. More at MidwestFarmReport.com. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers or a thunderstorm possible today. Our high in the mid to upper 60s this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be partly cloudy with a low dropping to near 50. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Did you know VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served?
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/homeloans.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll take another look at changes to SNAP benefits. We'll wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Welcome back, live from Chippewa Falls, on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you were to go to the Capitol right now, you would see that hundreds of bills have been introduced in the Wisconsin legislature so far this session, from Assembly Bill 1 to, at last check, Assembly Bill 273. And over in the other chamber, you can go all the way up to Senate Bill 280. But one bill is missing from all those, Senate Bill 1. Republicans reserved Senate Bill 1 for their version of a state budget and tax plan, but it is still missing in action nearly 5 months into the session. So what is it Republicans actually want to do? When are we going to see what they propose? And what will Governor Tony Evers do with it once it comes to him? Now, in the past, he has used his line item veto, his partial veto powers, repeatedly to try to mold and shape the bill. But is that good enough? Or does he have to consider vetoing the whole bill and making the legislature start over? And if so, what are the pros and cons of that? A coalition of groups was in the Capitol yesterday talking about the things that really need to be in the state budget in terms of schools and healthcare and families and, you know, what those standards should be. And we are very happy to have two friends of the program here to talk more about it. Robert Craig from Citizen Action of Wisconsin, Heather Dubois-Bornon from the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Robert and Heather, good morning. Thanks for being here. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
Doing great. Thanks, Pat. Nice to see you.
Yeah. Heather, I saw a Facebook post. You guys had a very busy day around the Capitol, and you said you carried around a particular visual aid the whole day to try to make your point about what needs to be in the budget or where previous budgets have failed and what people want to see in this budget. So what was your core message to lawmakers yesterday?
Well, first of all, Pat, we were thrilled that over 200 people were able to join us on the day after a holiday weekend to share their concerns about the state budget with lawmakers and to call on the governor to put his name on a better budget this time around. And I carried this poster with me to remind folks that we have been to every single one of the budget hearings taking notes. And if you look at what things people cared about the most, what's best for kids tops that chart. Public education, K through college, childcare, higher ed, Medicaid expansion, and holding the line on prisons and criminal justice reform were the lion's share of the testimony. Over half of the people who spoke on one of those three subject areas. And so the people who were at the Capitol today were a critical mass, but they didn't speak for themselves. They represent the majority of concerns that were heard around the state at every single one of those budget hearings. And those are the concerns that the members of the Joint Finance Committee on the Republican side disregarded when they threw the governor's budget proposal away and went back to base. And so our concern is that the people were not heard when they raise their voices in these democratic processes. And we want to call on all of our lawmakers and the governor to listen this time around and to pass a budget that actually meets the needs of our kids and our communities and stop playing political games with the money that we trust the state to use effectively and according to our needs.
That is it's a very telling pie chart that you were showing me with, again, the topics that were brought up most in the Joint Finance Committee hearings. And Robert, as somebody who's been active on the healthcare part of it, especially expanding Badger Care through Citizen Action, I'm sure that pie chart didn't surprise you either, even if it still seems to be a surprise to some of the lawmakers.
Well, I don't know if it's a surprise, but they entirely ignored it, Pat. So they've turned these budget hearings, which are supposed to be the legislature actually hearing from people who have take the time to go and speak to them about the budget, into just a sham where they pretend to listen and then they do what they're going to do, which is, this is an example of the decay of our democracy. And so Heather showed with that chart just where the public is that actually came to Joint Finance Committee and testified. It's overwhelming that the top issues are education funding, healthcare, especially expanding Badger Care, which is a huge common sense step we can still take. And that's not going to be, that opportunity is not being eliminated at the federal level. They took that off the table. Common sense criminal justice reform. And so since the legislature, Pat, is ignoring the people in the hearings, we brought the people to the Capitol. And this is extraordinary, Pat. You've been doing this a long time. I've never seen such a list of groups, and it was Citizen Action Wisconsin, Wisconsin Public Education Network, Wisdom, WEAC, which is a major power in Democratic politics, and its major urban affiliates, AFT Wisconsin, number of others, and the child care advocates, who really got a lot of attention this cycle, coming in. I've never seen a group of groups like this come and ask a Democrat governor to change his tactics. You see, in the last three budgets, he's essentially, with some line item vetoes, signed the Republican budget in a situation where we have divided rule, in a situation where only one person was elected by the whole people, and that is Governor Evers. Since they, Pat, use every ounce of their power they can, a lot of illegitimate use, like not confirming the governor's appointments on a regular basis as a strategy, just for one example, the governor needs to use all of his legitimate power, and that is his veto power. And that is to make it clear, set a bottom line, say that this is my bottom line, include Badger Care expansion and sufficient funding for public schools, child care, and common sense criminal justice reform does not build any more prisons. And say, I will not sign a budget that doesn't do that, that he has to do that. Otherwise, he's allowing them to get a Republican budget where this should be a compromise pact. So that's where we are. And as organizers, this is about power. So we're saying we'll be with the governor and stand behind him, all these people, Pat, but the governor needs to lead.
So if the governor were to threaten to or actually veto the whole bill, there are a couple of different ways you could go. Robert, I'll start with you and then Heather. And there is this notion that if the governor were to veto the whole thing, Republicans would just say, oh, yeah, well, then we just won't pass a budget at all. Everything will continue at the same level. It's not like government shuts down and there won't be any improvements in anything either. So is that the tactic that would keep Governor Evers and others from vetoing a bill in its entirety? And what's your answer to that potential?
It's very similar to what Chuck Schumer said when he crossed most other Democrats and voted for a Republican bill to keep the government open, which also put in place a whole lot of the changes Doge and Trump are illegitimately and illegally making. What we've seen from the Democrat grassroots, which is everyone is for democracy, not just Democrats, is that they expect leaders now to fight and to use all their leverage. And so I think it's a sign of weakness to say, oh, I couldn't veto the budget because it could put in place a worse budget. It has to be used as leverage to force a negotiation and to force public attention on these popular issues that the legislature is against and is trying to block, because then they face much more consequences at the ballot box, the only real Democratic accountability. The other thing, Pat, is, what I heard at the Capitol yesterday, they're talking about putting most of their budget in separate appropriations bills with no line item veto and putting forward only a base budget so they can avoid the governor's line item veto powers in a budget. So we're in a situation where they're playing hardball anyway and are acting against all previous norms. The governor has got to be willing to stand and fight. But part of this, Pat, is if he lays this bottom line, the public will know who is blocking fair funding for public schools, who is blocking healthcare for 90,000 more people and more, getting more money for doing that, child care, which everyone needs and wants to. And so I think that that's the only thing that can work in a democracy, that signing a Republican budget and then declaring it some kind of victory actually harms the public understanding of what is really going on.
Heather, I feel like the sentiment for this really increased after this last go-round where the governor agreed to an increase in local aid and in funding for local schools, public schools, but the amount of money that went to the voucher program was immense and to some people didn't look like a compromise at all, and really has led to this notion of, you know, better to veto a bad budget than to try to fix it with partial vetoes. What are your thoughts on that, Heather?
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay.
It's getting ready for school time here. Sorry for the background noise.
That's all right.
Yeah, you're totally right, Pat. People were really confused by the budget deal that the governor worked out last time, because while he did arrange a deal that exchanged a much needed increase to the low revenue limit ceiling, he did so in return for what turned out to be the largest expansion to privatization programs that we've ever seen in one swoop. And so this massive increase to vouchers and independent charters was not matched by a massive increase to public school funding. We saw a little lift to the low revenue limit ceiling, which, though welcome, did not even get our low spending districts up to the state average. And we saw a budget ultimately passed that didn't even provide an inflationary increase to our public schools. In fact, about 40% of school districts received less state aid in the first year of that biennial budget than they had the previous year anyway. And so that's why we have seen a record number of districts have to go to referenda in the course of the past 2 years. 419 questions, I believe, is the final count. Keep in mind that we have 421 total districts. We've had districts that have had to go again and again to voters to ask to raise taxes on themselves because the state is not paying its share. And it's just an unsustainable cycle. And this cycle of going back to base, fighting for crumbs, not getting enough, going back to base, fighting for crumbs, not getting enough, just has to stop. That cycle is not going to stop itself. And as Robert said, now we're hearing about this other layer of political games playing on top of it. And we were just headed to the Capitol yesterday to say enough. Enough is enough. Do your job. Your job is to make sure that our public schools have the resources they need so that every kid's needs can be met. And you are not meeting that obligation right now. Do better.
On YouTube, Tony writes, I saw so many photos on Facebook from the Capitol yesterday. It was amazing. And I mentioned seeing, you know, Heather in photos along with some of the folks there. Robert, you mentioned all the people that were there as well, that this really has much more of a grassroots feel than, you know, so much of the AstroTurf stuff we saw from, you know, back in the days of, you know, the Tea Party and things like that. Between that and the pie chart, Robert, I mean, you completely feel the public sentiment shifting, and with fairer maps, non-gerrymandered maps, you've got to feel better about taking this kind of a message into the 2026 election cycle, not meaning to get ahead of myself.
I hope we can get a budget, right, Pat? So if the Republicans do the right thing, then they are in a better stance in the 2026 elections. But if they're going to do what they did before, we at least want to make it crystal clear that they did it and exactly what they did so they can be held accountable. That's the only way democracy works. Softening the edges doesn't work, Pat. But what our hope is that the governor will create a very difficult environment for them politically that will actually make them do the right thing and find common ground with Governor Evers on these issues, because as Heather says, we cannot continue this cycle over and over again. And in fact, Pat, with what the House did, the House of Representatives and their tax on Medicaid, they left the extra money for Medicaid expansion, but it sunsets the full amount, getting 95% of cover of it paid for by the federal government for 2 years, sunsets on January 1st, 2026. This is the last budget we can get the full Medicaid expansion amount. But education, school districts are at the breaking point with the referendums. Heather talks about this all the time.
Without a doubt. Head to the comment sections on Facebook and YouTube to see the links that they provided us, where you can sign your name to a letter of support. Robert Craig from Citizen Action, Heather Dubois-Bourinon from Wisconsin Public Education Network. Thanks so much, you guys. Appreciate all that you're doing. Earl Ingram,
thanks
coming
for having
up.
Us.
You bet. Earl Ingram coming up in our next hour, along with Dan Schaefer on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Georgia law allows unlimited challenges by voters to the eligibility of other citizens registering or voting. Before a hotly contested U.S. Senate runoff election in 2021, an activist group challenged over 364,000 voters. The case is now before an appeals court. Remember the Georgia legislature's notorious SB 202 prohibiting line warming, the giving out of food and water for voters forced to wait in long lines to vote? That is only one of many barriers in the law targeting voters of color. Another allows citizen activists unlimited challenges to the eligibility of other citizens to register and vote, often using inaccurate or hearsay information. At issue are mass challenges to over 364,000 mostly black and Hispanic voters by True the Vote, the Texas group that brought you the discredited 2000 Mules conspiracy theory documentary. Georgia's Fair Fight Action sued, but a federal district court said voters testifying didn't provide enough evidence to rise to a Voting Rights Act violation. In Fair Fight's 11th Circuit appeal on May 13th, two judges in the three-judge panel voiced concern over the legal foundation of the lower court's decision. One judge suggested that the intent of voter suppression was enough to be a violation of the VRA, even if citizens voted successfully. Expect a decision in the coming weeks. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though. Because
probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
We are about 15 minutes away from Earl Ingram joining us to talk about what's happening in Milwaukee with the lead situation and Robert Kennedy Jr.'s comments slash fibs. But in the meantime, we've got Todd Alba here right before the 8 o'clock news to talk about things that he's working on for his midday show, 2 to 4 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. But Mr. Alba, since I worked in the Capitol, you worked in the Capitol, let's pick up where that last conversation left off and this notion of asking Governor Evers if the budget is bad in his view and other people's views to veto the whole budget and tell the legislature start over again rather than trying to fix it through partial vetoes. And, you know, again, I'm not trying to be a wet blanket on this, but I feel like it would be too easy for Robin Voss and Devin Lemieux to go, all right, fine, we just won't pass anything, because this isn't the federal government. There won't be a shutdown. You just continue with the past budget. I lived through this in 2007 when it took until November to pass a budget because some folks in my party were so attached to the Healthy Wisconsin initiative that we knew the assembly wasn't going to pass because it's run by Republicans. So it's a game of chicken that you play with risks.
Good morning, gentlemen. First of all, a small correction. I was a flack in the Capitol. Pat was a state senator. There's a difference of working and working. Capital.
I said working, and as staff, you were probably working harder, is what I'm trying to say.
I'm not sure about that, but I appreciate it. I pretty much tend to agree with you, Pat. I understand the sentiment of trying to force Republicans to do more, maybe use the power to force them to the table to negotiate a better budget. So I kind of agree with your last guest in a way that had that threat out there to use it for leverage, probably not a bad thing. But you and I both know, Pat, that the way that the state government is set up is dramatically different than the federal, because if there is no budget, either the legislature or the governor's fault, I use that word to be simplistic, the budget just continues on in its current state for another 2 years. And I think that my former party would probably be okay with that, because they would go around the state and say, and especially if Governor Evers wants to run for re-election, which we don't know whether he does or not, there might be a chance he does, they'll just go around and say, look, this isn't what you want for 4 more years, a guy that can't even come to the table and pass a budget. Now, that's an overly simplistic answer, and it takes two to tango, but I think that's what the message would be. I think it's more interesting. Let me not more. I think it's just interesting. And these were off the record conversations, so I'm going to talk very generally. I happen to find myself in a place within the last month where some Democrats were gathered. And I don't think I'm talking out of school when I say that even amongst his own party, legislators and the Democratic Party find it difficult to get appointments with the governor, find it difficult to get in and talk with him. And again, it goes back to some of the people the governor puts in charge of his office. And I think that is of more concern. Is it really Tony Evers who we've heard that he's trying to meet with the legislators? I just don't understand. Maybe things have changed in 10 years since I've been in the building, Pat. But you know this, whether it was Tommy Thompson or Jim Doyle, to a certain degree, Scott Walker, but he had basically the Republican legislature. They make a big deal about this. Oh, the other party's coming over in the governor's conference room. We're going to have all these. You never hear that kind of stuff with Evers and this legislature, and I'm not sure why that is.
Well, and Greg raised an interesting point during the break that if they don't pass something, Greg, what's the talking point? Yeah, we got paid to do nothing.
Yeah.
Once again,
wait a minute.
In the legislature?
I just could come in and just sit and do nothing? Love it. Healthcare.
And Tony says, yeah, they could go around the state saying, yeah, we shut down those pesky daycares, because, you know, daycare centers will be shutting down if no budget is passed. So, I mean, there are very definitely risks both ways.
But don't you think, guys, that, again, I'm not defending them. I just know how these guys operate. They'll have something in the budget that it might be window dressing, but it'll be something for childcare. And Robin Voss and Devin Lemieux and their caucus will go around the state and say, look, we put something for the governor for childcare. We put this. He was the one that refused to sign it. What can we do?
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other thing to keep in mind is that Wisconsin is probably still the most unique state in the country when it comes to the powers of the partial veto. You know, there are governors that could only dream of being able to shape legislation after it passes just by removing some lines in a budget, which, by the way, gets back to why there's this mistrust between Republicans and the governor is, you know, the budget comes to the governor. He could keep in all the daycare stuff and he could red pen all the tax breaks that might be in there for higher income brackets. And so it really does need to be done at the negotiating table with two parties, literally and figuratively, that really don't trust each other, but they really got to get the work done, Todd.
Another thing I think you guys brought up the last segment, I forget who it was, I apologize, but whoever it was that brought this point, that Republicans now are thinking about doing part of the spending as standalone bills instead of including in the actual omnibus budget bill. That's very interesting. I don't know that that's ever been attempted before, Pat, do you?
No, and it's funny that meanwhile in Congress, they're going the other way. Instead of like 13 different bills, you're trying to put it one big, beautiful bill with all of the, you know, the headaches that come with that. So it's what I'm saying is Republicans are not being consistent. They're doing
absolutely
whatever it takes to
be consistent.
Yes, to get their way rather than to actually, you know, negotiate. and compromise, as the case may be. So
I think they're in a tough spot. They want to appease the MAGA Trump caucus, much like they're trying to do out in D.C. But they also know that I think maybe in a small way, they don't want a budget. I don't know.
I know. Todd's got this and more weekdays, 2 to 4 o'clock across the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you, Mr. Alba. Talk to you later.
Thank you. Appreciate y'all. Bye-bye.
And Greg Bach is back in 1 hour for Matinair on air.
Yes, indeed.
And then one more day with me.
Well,
and then
one more day.
Boy. Well, on that note, folks, I got to get rolling because Todd's singing show tunes.
Earl Ingram and Dan Schaefer in our next hour and the updated forecast from meteorologist Brittany Merlot. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. SpaceX launching another Starship rocket, but it spun out of control and broke apart, falling back to Earth shortly after liftoff. President Trump set to pardon reality TV stars Todd and Julie Chrisley, who were sentenced to years in prison for defrauding banks out of tens of millions of dollars. A big change to CDC guidelines created during the pandemic. ABC senior Washington correspondent Rachel Scott with more.
Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is a noted vaccine skeptic, announced on social media that the CDC will no longer be recommending COVID-19 vaccines for healthy children or healthy pregnant women. Now, this catching doctors off guard because it did bypass the traditional CDC process that includes an independent review and also consulting with medical professionals.
Macy's department stores and says profits slipped in the first quarter and says more customers are cautious about the trade war. This is ABC News.